tonight. I encourage you to take your Bibles out and follow along with us. Make sure that what is being stated is in harmony with the Word of God. We talked about at least five things that the Bible categorizes as being precious this morning. Appreciate the good feedback on that and encouragement that you gave on that. And we're going to continue that theme tonight and look at least five more things of which the Bible talks about being precious. And the first one I want you to think about is in Psalm 133. Psalm 133. Beginning verse 1, the Bible says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." So the psalmist declares that brethren dwelling together in unity is a good thing. And he says how pleasant it is. Someone says, what about the word precious? Well, read verse 2. He said, "It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments." For us to be together in unity is something that is well pleased to God. In fact, it's something that God expects. We've talked about that numerous times. We've done sermons on it, Bible classes. We've brought it out, the importance of being in unity. That it's not something that is optional, but it's something that God commands us. 1 Corinthians 1:10 and a host of other passages talk about that. The book of Philippians chapter 3 and then verse 16. He says, "Nevertheless, whereunto we've already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing." Some things that it's not possible, or that it's not possible that we mind the same thing, that we walk by the same rule, but it is. And unity is only attainable when we are walking by the same rule. And of course, our measurement of authority in religious affairs is the Bible, the Word of God. And if we'll do all things according to the Bible, the way that God would have it to be done, then we'll have the unity that God expects us to have. And so, you're to speak what I speak, and I'm to speak what you're to speak, and we'll be on the same page if we're on the same page as what the Bible is teaching. That's a very simple concept. I've reminded people before, if I were to get up and teach something on one particular topic, maybe it was on baptism, and I were to say that baptism is essential for salvation, and then Law was to get up and teach that baptism is not essential for salvation, and then someone else got up and taught, well, it's either way, that's not unity. And most of the people in the religious world can see that so very clearly. When we have a home study with folks, sometimes we may use a little stick and a ruler. Some of these guys have been in the preacher training are familiar with how to do that. And you just pull that out and ask someone, the little stick, how long is that? And you'll get all kinds of answers. And I jot that down on a piece of paper. And I'll throw an answer in there too. And I'll ask them, when they look at all of those different answers, is that unity or division? You know what they say each and every time? Division. Because they understand that when we're not saying the same thing, it's division. But then when you pull out the ruler and you measure that stick again and you get the same answer and you ask everyone again without exception, it's always been the case when I go back around the room at the table, how long is that? I get the same answer from everybody and I ask the question, what made the difference? You know what the reply is? We measured it. Is that unity or division? And then clearly see that that's unity when we have the same measurement. But if we're not speaking the same thing, if we're not minded the same things, then we're divided and we're not in unity. But as we think about things that are precious, stay in the book of Psalms and this time come to 139. Psalm 139. There's a lot of things that the Bible mentions as being precious. Notice in verse 17, he says, "How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them." If I were to ask you, how precious do you consider the thoughts of God, how would you respond to that? Would you say that it's something precious to you? And when you're trying to settle a religious question, what do you make your appeal to? My thoughts? Do you ask a question, what does the preacher say about it? I wonder what Donnie says about it. Let's go ask him. I'm okay with you asking me questions. If I don't know, I'll say I don't know. But I'll be quick to tell you, I'm not the authority. I'm not the standard. And so it doesn't matter what I think about it, and I've been asked the question before, Donnie, what do you think about it? It doesn't matter what I think about it. It's what God says about it. Behold, how precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God. I'd rather take God's thoughts on any given topic over that of man. Man can be wrong, and often are wrong. But God is right each and every time. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. Let's back up to verse 6. He says, Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. You might want to underscore. His way and his thoughts. Because that is what the prophet is saying, that an individual is to forsake. Man needs to forsake his way, and man needs to forsake his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now watch verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts, you might want to underscore that, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. There is a big difference between the thoughts and the thinking of man, and the ways of man, and that of God. In fact, it's stated in the book of Psalms and Proverbs that there's a way which seemeth right unto man. You know the rest of that? But the end thereof are the ways of death. And so we need to understand that God is always right. And we need to make our appeal to what God says about, like Romans chapter 4 and then verse 3. For what saith the Scripture? Remember that? What does the Bible say about it? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119:104. So as we think about what is precious, unity is precious. God's thoughts are precious. As you thought about precious things this afternoon, what else would you put on the list? There's a way which seemeth to right unto man, by the way, is Proverbs 14:12. There's other passages that talk about that. But what would you put on the list? About unity and God's thoughts, that makes 12 that we've talked about today. Let me give you another one. Go to the book of Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and then verse 15. Back up to 13. Many times in the Proverbs, wisdom is personified. That is, it's given personal attributes. May refer to as she or in other ways, as a person. And notice what he says in Proverbs chapter 3, begin with verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. Verse 15, here's our point. She is more, and that's talking about wisdom, she is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. I don't know how much a ruby is worth, but anything that you could desire in all of the earth, the wise man pens, is not even to be compared to that of wisdom. How do we esteem wisdom? As something that is precious. In the book of Ephesians chapter 5 verse 17, Paul penned, Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. In James chapter 1 verse 5, If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. Are we wisdom seekers? Do we seek after wisdom? Do we pray for wisdom? Do we try all we can to learn the ways of truth and hide them in our heart that we might not sin against God? Could people say of me and of you that we are people of the book? We know God's will, and we live according to the precepts of God, to His ways, to His truth. Wisdom is something precious, and we ought to seek after it. Buy the truth and sell it not, Proverbs 23:23. There's a lot of things as you make a study of truth that the Bible talks about that truth will do for us. Give us light, Psalm 119:130. Make us clean, John 15:3. Sanctifies one, John 17:17. There's a number of things that the Bible talks about that truth will do for us. And so we need to seek after wisdom and read and study the Word of God. Come over to the book of Ecclesiastes while you're in the wisdom literature section of the Old Testament. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and in verse 1. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. You know what the Bible says is even better than precious ointment? A good name. Look at Proverbs 22 and in verse 1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and love and favor rather than silver and gold. How much does your name mean to you? Does it mean anything? Does your name have influence? The Bible often talks about the value of a good name. And it has a lot to say about influence, like from the book of Matthew, chapter 5. In verse 16, you are the light of the world, so forth. A city that is set on a hill. Let your light so shine before men that they may glorify your, see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth. We've got a lot of young people among us, blessed with young people in this congregation. Let no man despise thy youth. Got youth on your side, don't let any man despise your youth. But be thou an example of the believers. Peer pressure can be tough, can be hard. Use your youth and your influence in that way for good, for something positive. Be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation or conduct, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. He's writing to someone who is obviously younger than he is. He's indicating in 1 Timothy 1:3 and 2 Timothy 1:3. Then he says in verse 13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. What about your name? How precious is it to you? Think about that next time you're going to make a decision. How might this damage my influence for good? How might this hinder my cause for Christ and serving Him? Come to 2 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 4. 2 Peter 1 and in verse 4. Where the scripture reading was read, we appreciate Ethan for doing the good job that he did in reading the scripture reading. In verse 1, the Bible says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have attained like precious faith. We've already talked about that from this morning, that faith is precious. With us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And then, number 4, for our 10th point for today, 10th precious thing, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. God is given a number of things throughout the Bible of which He says He will do. And every single time He has kept His word. in all of those, like Joshua 23. And in verse 1, when you go back to that book and you think about the many things that God had stated that He would do, and it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. You know how many of the things that God promised failed to come to pass? Zero. Not a one, as indicated in verse 14. There hath not failed one thing that God had promised, but all came to pass. And so when the Bible says in the New Testament that God is going to give us eternal salvation, you think God is a keeper of His Word? You think God's lying when He says that? If ever you did, look at Titus chapter 1. I'm talking to folks who do not believe that. But in Titus chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, what about God? They cannot lie, hath promised before the world began. In fact, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9, it tells us that Jesus is the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. Precious things of the Bible. And there's a lot more. So if you're not in today and never obeyed the gospel of Christ, you have an opportunity to do that. So hearing the gospel, Romans 10:17, believing that Jesus is the Son of God, John 8:24. Repenting of your sins, Luke 13:3-5. Confessing your faith in Christ, that He is the Son of God. Jesus commanded that, Matthew 10:32-33. And being baptized in water for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. Maybe you have done that, but fallen away. You want to be restored. You want to come home. Repent of those things of your unfaithfulness. Make confession unto God. We'll pray with you and for you. Come right now.